Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The editor-in-chief from Raw Story, Dave Leventhal. Dave, happy I wish the Bills were playing today, Sunday.
Yeah, it's like Buffalo's annual national day of mourning and wondering what could have been. So, yeah, we'll all watch the Super Bowl and, you know, probably have a tear in our beer while we do so.
Well, you know, to add insult to injury, this show was supposed to be live from Phoenix, Arizona.
Well, you know, just start circling dates on the calendar for 2024.
Oh, believe me, I'm waiting to see when that London trip will be. But, you know, Dave, a lot for you to cover this week, as always. I mean, there's never a shortage of stuff going on in D.C., starting with the State of the Union address. And a lot of takeaways, Dave. But number one, just what would you say you're hearing in D.C., the main takeaway from President Biden's State of the Union 2023?
Well, he's trying to accomplish a couple of things at the same time here that may or may not necessarily be in concert. On one hand, he was pushing back very hard against a lot of Republican priorities and trying to get Republicans in this kind of bizarre exchange, this almost conversation or debate or argument in the midst of the State of the Union, where he's trying to get Republicans to say, hey, you know, you're not going to cut Medicare, you're not going to cut Social Security, and then people yelling back at him and he having a conversation with them. It was pretty surreal, to say the least. And I can't remember a State of the Union that ever has quite materialized in that regard in the way this one did. But then also, too, calling for unity and calling for the country to move beyond, particularly to very, just defining events for the entire nation. Number one, the COVID pandemic, and there's a plan in place that the Biden administration has to end the national emergency related to COVID-19. And the other one, too, is January 6th and trying to unify around a path forward beyond that. So, you know, you sort of have your cake and eat it, too, a little bit, Joe. But at the same time, too, I think here we are, not 5 days away from the State of the Union, and it already seems kind of in the rearview mirror, and State of the Union addresses in general have a way of being forgotten very quickly. It will be curious to see whether Joe Biden is going to be able to maintain momentum for any of the things that he discussed and he really had arranged.
You know, Dave, speaking of that Social Security, and I think I have a member of Congress on at 11:30, but not quite sure. That's why I haven't promoted it. But the Social Security thing, has there been a real push to start addressing Social Security? Because, and I could be wrong here, the last, you know, real push I remember was President George Bush right before he lost the 06 midterms. Am I missing something? Has there been that push on either side of the aisle to address Social Security as it stands right now?
Well, sure, there's been pushes, but have those pushes really gone anywhere to have some sort of meaningful material change in the way that Social Security operates in this country or is funded or is going to be funded for the future, which is the biggest, greatest, most existential question that we have here? The answer would largely be no. But at the same time, too, we're facing down a very stark reality that the Social Security Trust Fund and Social Security in general is going to be running out of money sooner or later. And some of the estimates are within 10 years, it's going to become insolvent. It doesn't mean it's going to go away, but it means that it's going to basically be underwater. Other projections put that out well beyond 10 years. But nevertheless, if you don't have enough money coming in and you got more money going out, then you're going to face a problem. Anyone who runs a home budget knows that in all too sharp relief. So the same principle applies here at the federal level. And it's really a question of, all right, well, are you going to put more money into it, which entails perhaps raising taxes, or are you going to make spending cuts that are going to basically take money that otherwise would be going to other budget priorities in order to bolster and reinforce Social Security? Combination of both. There's really no other alchemy that you can apply and use here that's going to magically, like, you know, let you win the Social Security lottery and just punch a whole bunch of money into it that way. It's got to be in money in or money out. And Congress is going to face some very, very difficult decisions going forward. And they're either going to face them up themselves proactively, or they're going to have to do so reactively at some point in the future.
You know, Dave, going back to President Joe Biden for just a second, he had the State of the Union address. He gave two interviews this week. You know, I'm at the gym yesterday, went later than usual. And I love the gym, not only for working out purposes, but it's the one time I can watch the three major cable news networks all at the same time and see what CNN is talking about compared to what Fox is talking about compared to what MSNBC is talking about. And one story I was surprised to see on CNN and not Fox News was the fact that President Joe Biden will be skipping the presidential pre-Super Bowl interview by Fox News that even President Obama did. I was surprised to see that on CNN. Is that a big talking topic around D.C.?
Not so much, although it is definitely strange, and you can kind of offer up a couple of ideas as to why that might be. One is that Joe Biden is trying to, you know, basically go around the country after the State of the Union address and talk about his priorities on his own terms. He probably wants to, at this point, to avoid certain questions, not only about what he talked about the State of the Union, but about his age, about him running for re-election in 2024, a big decision that he is going to have to make and says he's going to make officially, formally, in basically the next few weeks. So it's his choice. Definitely he's missing an opportunity to speak on one of the grandest platforms of all, Super Bowl Sunday, when everyone's going to be watching. But he's also got a lot of face time in other ways, too. And again, his choice to make.
You know, because I was talking about this on Friday. I don't know who Fox News offered up to interview the president, but I believe, if I'm not mistaken, President Obama did an interview with Bill O'Reilly twice during his presidency before the Super Bowl on Fox. So just I thought it was an interesting talking point to see on CNN of all networks yesterday afternoon.
That shows you how much politics and in the world, in a way, has changed just in a few short years.
Exactly. Now, Dave, I said this last time we spoke. I don't know when we'll actually be able to do a back and forth and not talk about classified documents. It's not going to be this time because yesterday we learned that the FBI removed not only a document from former Vice President Mike Pence's home, but also, I believe, the Trump people also turned over another document that was marked classified. Where are we on this classified document hunt that is seeing two former presidents and a former vice president?
Well, you kind of nailed it. It's not, you know, so much a question, Joe, as where are we, but where aren't we? I mean, it seems like everyone who's a former president is having a search taking place, and or vice president for that matter, and documents are being found. So these are all very similar situations by virtue of what they involve, but they're different in the sense of, well, how did those documents get there? Why are those documents there? Are the people involved cooperating with the government so that a thorough search can be done? And also to the question that is very difficult to answer, if you can answer it at all, is what exactly are these documents? What do they contain? What do they say? And because they are classified, there's very scant information as to the totality of what these documents do indeed involve. But it's a very serious matter anytime you have somebody who is not in office and basically has returned to being a private citizen in possession of government secrets. that's a big deal, even if they are the former president of the United States or former vice president. So the way that our government is supposed to work, that you go and you serve, and then when you don't, you don't. And so as a result, there are huge questions as to what protocols were put into place. The National Archives, of course, is supposed to be the repository of much of this information. And this is why we have, Joe, a special counsel, and in fact, two of them involved, both for the Biden situation and the Trump situation, that gives the Department of Justice sort of an arm's length relationship with the actual investigation. And having somebody in there who ostensibly is supposed to not have any type of tie to the current president, the current administration, and has a degree of independence in order to make determinations about the severity of the situation at hand.
Now, as you mentioned, these are classified documents. You know, I have a lot. There's a lot of people out there saying, "Oh, well, we got to find out what these documents are about." But that's very unlikely that if it's classified, we will ever learn what the contents of the documents were. Correct?
Yeah, and you know, there may be information that does come out. We in fact do have a little bit of idea, at least in the Trump situation, that these are documents that involve various things that we don't have a whole lot of details about. But in the past few weeks, we've learned a little bit of information about what they might entail. So, you know, it's. You nailed it too there, that these are classified documents. And because of that, unless they are declassified, unless there is some point in the future where the status of that information changes, then don't expect to have sort of instant gratification as to the nature of these documents.
And Dave, if we're not talking about classified documents, you and I are talking about Congressman George Santos. And we saw him at the State of the Union, right on the aisle. And Mitt Romney had a few words for the congressman. Where are we in this George Santos saga? And are we anywhere closer to seeing him removed from Congress?
Well, Democrats are having a field day with this, of course, and every time George Santos lies, which basically seems to be almost every time he opens his mouth, then Democrats are all over him and basically hold him up as a, sort of the emblem of the Republican Party, whether that is fair or not. But of course, Democrats are going to do that. Republicans, meanwhile, and it's not just Mitt Romney, there are many others who would love to see George Santos just go away, but there is not, at least at this point in time, overwhelming political will on the part of Republicans to get him to go. Now, he's an elected member of Congress, so he can be asked to leave. It can be recommended to him to step away and resign, but that's his choice. He's a duly elected representative of his downstate New York district, so there is no recall election provision in Congress, so voters can't get rid of him until the next election if George Santos decides to run again, which is an open question at this point. And in the process for removing a member of Congress internally, it does exist. It's very rare. It has happened. You might remember, if you're of a certain age, James Traficant, a Democrat from Ohio, who was removed from this process for basically just gross, gross violations of the law or ethical standards or whatever the case may be. And there is sort of a nascent investigation internally through the House Ethics Committee that is beginning. There have been complaints lodged with this committee, and that process will move forward at whatever speed it decides to move forward at, which usually with the House Ethics Committee is quite slowly. So could there be a reprimand, a censure, even a removal for George Santos in his future? Sure, but it's not going to happen tomorrow, and it's not going to happen next week. So for the time being, George Santos, barring him stepping away voluntarily, is going to be a member of Congress, and we're going to be hearing a lot more about him so long as he is.
Yeah, it's just, Dave, it's to me, I don't get it. If I had so many people, especially within my own party, you know, last time we spoke, I talked about New York GOP chairman Nick Langworthy, also a congressman, also calling on him to resign. You got all these people, even on your own side of the aisle, calling on you to resign, and the fact that you can still show up to work every day, I don't know. If everyone at work didn't like me openly, I don't know, maybe they don't, but openly didn't like me, I think that would eventually get very awkward to walk into the office.
Now, is there more the Republican Party could do to try to oust him from his seat and get him out of his seat from where he is? Sure, you could have Kevin McCarthy on down come out and say, we have lost faith in him. We no longer support him. He's gone. As far as we're concerned, even if he is here, he's basically a dead man walking, politically speaking, here in Congress. And Santos has done one thing. He's made one concession, and that he has voluntarily stepped away from serving on congressional committees, which really kind of cuts him off at the knees in terms of his ability to have any influence internally in the committee process where a lot of the work of Congress is done. He said it was to focus on his constituents, but come on, nobody does that unless there's some serious, serious problem. And everyone else is just fine focusing on their constituents. So, the Republicans definitely could come yet and in a much more forceful way tell him leadership-wise on down to go away. But that hasn't happened quite yet. And this ethics process is really the action that's taking place. And I should note, too, Joe, that is a bipartisan committee, even between Democrats and Republicans. And, it often is a protracted process.
Dave, we've seen a third flying object shot down, this time over Canada with help from U.S. forces. Are we anywhere learning more about these flying surveillance balloons? I don't know what the one yesterday was, or have we really not learned much since shooting the first one down?
Well, I certainly wouldn't want to be the pilot of the blimp flying over the Super Bowl today. I might have second thoughts about your career choices, but at least on a serious note, for these unidentified flying objects or unknown aerial phenomenon that are going over the United States and Canada, the latest reporting on it indicates that they are either balloon or blimp-like vehicles that in different forms and shapes have done effectively the same thing that was happening with the original one that basically traversed the length of the continent before being shot down over the coast of South Carolina. But it seems that the policy for the United States right now is pretty defined that if any of these things come over our territory and it's safe to do so, that they're going to be taken down despite the protests from China saying, no, you shouldn't do that. And also you should return the stuff that you shot down. Yeah, right. Good luck on that. And it really just speaks to sort of a broader campaign of surveillance that, again, latest reporting is indicating that that China is partaking in and is using to, for reasons that are partially known but not fully known, basically creating a situation where this is going to be a phenomenon going forward, and apparently has been too for a couple of years based on additional information that was provided to Congress just in the past week.
Dave, anything? Last week all the talk was on the upcoming State of the Union address that is now in the rearview mirror. Anything we should be keeping an eye out for in D.C. in the next few weeks?
Well, Congress is going to be very much engaged in the debate about the debt ceiling and about budgetary matters and economic matters. And, on one hand, people probably want to roll their eyes and say, is this still going on? Yeah, it's still going on. And it's only going to get worse until Congress figures out a way to make it better. So if you are a leader at the Treasury Department, for example, you are feeling some major, major heat and pressure right now because this is all kind of hurtling toward a point where the United States has to be concerned about defaulting on financial promises that is made to its creditors. And the full faith and credit of the United States government is basically the gold standard worldwide. And if suddenly we are not paying our bills that are already there, these are not future bills, these are ones that we have to make good on, then that's going to be a monumentally, economically, financially catastrophic type of situation potentially. So this is something that Congress is going to continue to grapple with until it figures it out. And this kind of game of chicken is that we're getting closer and closer to the point where there's going to be a collision unless we avoid it.
All right, Dave. Final question. We're asking everyone this question today. I know it's not the game that we were hoping it would be, but who do you think is going to win the NFL when all said and done?
You know, I mean, Patrick Mahomes has one heck of a story and the injuries that he's fought through to get to the point where they're at. But I don't know. I think the Eagles are going to pull it out, and I think they're going to win their second Super Bowl in the last half dozen years.
Well, all right. So in the first hour of the show, we have one KC vote, one Philadelphia vote. We'll see what happens. Dave, as always, a pleasure speaking with you, and we look forward to hearing from you at 6:50 Tuesday morning.
Likewise. Hey, thank you, Joe.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.